الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا مولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعصي ما فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله ملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم وقد قال تبارك وتعالى أتل ما أوحي إليك من الكتاب صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. My most respected elders and brothers in Islam, before I speak on the subject that I have chosen for today, just to mention a few sunnats for the day of Jummah. Ibn Sunni, a muhaddith, has mentioned that person who recites on the day of Jummah, after the sunnats of Fajr, before the fard of Fajr, if he reads three times, Astaghfirullah alladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum wa atubu ilayh. Astaghfirullah alladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum wa atubu ilayh. If he reads it three times before the fard salah, Allah will forgive his minor sins. In another narration, he mentions that person, after the Jummah Salah, if he recites 100 times, after the Jummah Salah, if he recites 100 times, Subhanallahi al-Azim wa bihamdihi, Astaghfirullah. Subhanallahi al-Azim wa bihamdihi, Astaghfirullah. Allah will forgive 100,000 of his minor sins and 24,000 of the sins of his parents. Likewise, on the day of Jummah, abundant durood has to be read upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the virtues of durood are many. So these are just a few actions that a person should practice on the day of Jummah. This does not mean that a person cannot read durood at other times also. Abundant durood at other times also, there's great virtue in that. Now coming back to the subject that I wish to speak about today. About 2 nights ago, most of us may have heard about the incident of Mi'raj. I just wish to highlight 6 points from that incident. 3 of those points are things that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam witnessed on this night, which are a little frightening. And the other 3 will be something that is encouraging to us, which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had seen on that night. One of the things that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had seen on that night, it comes in the riwayat, that ataytu laylatan usriya bi, that on the night of Mi'raj had come, rijalan, I came across some people, تُقْرَدُ شِفَاهُهُمْ كَمَقَارِيدٍ تُقْرَدُ شِفَاهُهُمْ بِمَقَارِيدِ النَّارِ, that the people's lips were being cut with scissors of fire. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, مَنْ هَاوُلَاي يَا جِبْرَائِيلُ, who are these people, O Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam? Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam replied, that hum qawmun ya'muruna an-nasa bil ma'ruf وَيَنْسُونَ أَنفُسَهُمْ. That they are those people that they command others with good, but they forget about themselves. Now each and every one of us, we have interactions with others, either our family members, or either outsiders, maybe our colleagues, or other people. The way we behave, the way we speak, is a means of either inviting the person towards good, or either we are shunning the person and pushing him away. A person makes amar bil ma'ruf, he commands with good, and he stops from evil in two ways, either verbally or either with his actions. When a person is portraying himself in a good way, in an Islamic way, then that is an invitation to that person. The person looks at your akhlaq, he comes close to you, he comes close towards Islam. But when a person is portraying himself in an incorrect way, in a vulgar way, in a harsh way, then instead of inviting that person towards Islam, we're actually pushing that person away. Likewise, each and every person in his own home, he is a role model for his children. The first madrasa, we must remember, of the child are the parents. Parents are the first madrasa. He does not see anyone else before he sees his parents. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, kullu mawludin yuladu ala al-fitra. That every child is born with a natural inclination towards deen, with a natural inclination towards Islam. وَأَبَوَاهُ يُوَوِّذَانِهِ وَيُنَصِّرَانِهِ وَيُمَجِّسَانِهِ وَكَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. But it is his parents that either mold him after that. They either make him a Jew or a Christian, or they make him a fire worshipper, or they make him such a person who is close to deen, or a person who is far away from deen. That child who is growing up, and he sees in the home tilawat of Quran being made, or salah is being performed, that when the time of salah comes, he sees his father going to the masjid, he sees the mother that is performing the salah, then do you think at the time, at the age of 7, do we really have to force the child to read his salah? Because from the beginning, right till that age, he has been watching his parents. He was watching how his parents were talking. When it came to eating, or when it came to the other actions in the house, that each and every sunnat is being implemented, then the same child is brought up in an environment where there is deen. So that is that amar bil ma'ruf and nahi anil munkar. Each and every person, he wants good values for his children, for the other people that he is interacting with. He wishes that they must interact in a good way with him. But are we interacting in a good way? Are we showing the beauty of Islam? So the first thing that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he saw those group of people, that they are commanding others with good. They want others to do good, but they're forgetting themselves. The second group of people Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw, that ra'aytu laylatan usri abi, that on the night of Miraj, I had seen a group of people, butunuhum kal buyut, people's stomachs were huge, like houses, big houses. Fiha al-hayyatu turaw min khariji, a turaw min kharijin. And in those stomach, in that stomach, there were serpents that were seen. That means they were punished with serpents in their stomach. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, man haulai, who are these people? Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam replied, akalatur riba, those people that were consuming interest and riba. This is such a grave sin. When you look into the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Just this one ayat is sufficient for us to understand the gravity of the sin. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِ. That person who is consuming riba or is involved in riba transactions, such a person is at war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's at war with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu, when they heard this ayat, they said, La qudrata lana. We do not have that strength and that power to even stand up in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is something that is already known. What will be the outcome? You are a loser from the beginning. How can you win such a war? So you had war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that that person who is involved in interest and riba, as though he is making zina 36 times. And we know how severe zina is. What is the punishment for zina? If a person has to be caught and it's proven that he has committed zina, if he's a married person, he'll be stoned to death. If he's an unmarried person, he'll be lashed 100 times. That is so severe. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that person who is consuming riba, as though he has committed 36 zinas. In another riwayat, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that the sin of riba has 70 stages. And the lowest stage of the sin of riba is like a person who is committing zina with his own mother. That's how severe the sin is. But yet we will find some people, they will try to justify the riba. They will say, no, we cannot do without the riba. Then you had war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The way that money comes in, if it comes in a haram way, it will go out in a haram way. And it will express itself in different ways. My respected father, Abdul Haq Magda Sahib, Damat Marakatum, he sees from all the problems that he sees around him, when it comes to drugs, etc., then he notices that when he looks into the history of that family, he will find that the father or someone is involved in haram and in riba especially. So the way the money is coming in, that's how the way the money is going out also. And it will express itself in different ways. It's not necessary that you will go and buy some haram thing, but you feeding your family haram, then they will end up doing haram also. And how can they be barakat in riba when Allah Himself says, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَا وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ. Allah wipes out the barakat in riba. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases the sadaqah. But our eyes is telling us something else. A person invests 100 rand and he's getting interest of 10 rand, he's getting 110 rand. But another person, he got 100 rand and he's spending 10 rand in sadaqah, he got 90 rand. Hazrat Sheikh Zakariya Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi mentions his example. And he explains further and he says that that person outwardly he has got that 110 rand. An increase to that interest. But Allah will put him into such difficulties, such sicknesses, such calamities will come upon him. Leave alone 110 rand, he'll end up with bills for 120, 150 rand. So the 110 rand, that extra 10 rand is already gone. All his money is gone. And he's also in debts. But that other person who gave the 10 rand in sadaqah, as-sadaqatu tutfi'u ghadab al-rabb, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the sadaqah, it cools the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there was supposed to be any calamities that will come, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would remove those calamities. So that extra he may have got a little bit less outwardly, but he removed all that calamities. This does not mean that a person who gives sadaqah, he won't get sick and no problems will come to him. Yes, sicknesses and problems come to everyone. But it not be a means of punishment for that person. That person who is doing good, sicknesses come to him also. But the sickness will not be a means of punishment. It will be a means of wiping out his sins. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that he has seen those people who were consuming riba. And one example is given by the Mufassirin with regards to riba. That person, what's the example of riba? It's like a person who has got a sickness in his stomach. He's blowing up. And he's thinking he's getting very, very strong. His muscles are building. And he's thinking he's very, very strong. But all the time, he's getting more and more sick. If he does not treat himself, he may die in the end. This is the example of riba and interest. Outwardly, it seems as though he's increasing. But he's actually making all your wealth haram. And the example of a person who's giving sadaqah is like a person who's taking a laxative. Outwardly, he's taking that laxative or he's detoxing himself. It seems as though he's getting weaker and weaker. But that weakness is going to bring him good health in the end. Likewise, that is sadaqah. Outwardly, it seems as though your wealth is decreasing. But that wealth is going to increase in the end. It's going to bring strength. So that was the second person that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had seen. The third person that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had seen was a person who had fingers. And his claws and his fingers were of iron, spikes. And he was scratching his face, all the flesh away from his face. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, who are these people? Jibreel alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are those people that they make ghibat of others. They slander others, they make ghibat of others. Now ghibat, we all know about this. Al-ghibatu ashaddu min al-zina also. It's worse than zina. Two people, they were fasting in the month of Ramadan. And they're finding difficulty in their fast. Famous hadith. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, bring a bowl and vomit whatever is in your system. And it was like fresh meat that had come out. Nabi Sam said, you all are making ghibat of people. That is why you're finding the difficulty in your fast also. So ghibat is a very, very serious sin also. And if it is slander, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what is ghibat? Zikruka akhaka bima yakruh. That you're speaking about your brother about something that he does not like. Sahaba radiallahu anhu asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what if it's true? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that is ribat. If it's not true, then that is slander. That is even worse. And there's a capital punishment for a person who slanders someone who hasn't got no proof. He'll be given 80 lashes. And if he's not punished in this dunya, in akhirat, Allah will ask him that he needs to bring his proof to prove what you said. So these are the three frightening things that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had seen on his night of Mi'raj. Then in one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that marartu laylatan usriya bi, on the night of Mi'raj, I passed by a person, rajulin mughayyabin fi noor al-arsh. This person is under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Under the noor of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is hidden. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks, man hadha? Ahadha malakun? Is this a farishta or angel? It was told to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no, he's not a farishta. A nabiyun? Is he a nabi? No, he's not a nabi. So man huwa? Who is this person? So it was told to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rajulun kana fi dunya. He was just a normal person in the dunya. A normal person in the dunya. But he had few qualities in him. Three qualities he had. Lisanuhu ratbun bi dhikrillah. First one is, his tongue was wet with the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is the zikr a person is making. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, astaghfirullah, reading durood. These are very, very great zikrs in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you get another zikr, which ulama mentioned, is that a person learns the masnoon du'as for each and everything that he does. For example, a person wakes up in the morning, immediately wakes up, he's reading the du'a. Then when he's going to the toilet, he's reading the du'a for the toilet. What makes him read this du'a? It's the remembrance of Allah. The consciousness of Allah is making him read. And ulama mentioned that these masnoon du'as for the whole day, and whatever we are doing, when a person learns these things, then this brings a person close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you get another tape of zikr, which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Kullu muti'in lillahi fawwa dhakirun. Every person who is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that everything he does, whether he is in the masjid, whether he is outside the masjid, whether he is the business, whether he is at home, everything has to be according to shariat, according to the command of Allah. Then he may not be making subhanallah, alhamdulillah, but he's in the zikr of Allah. So the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times, meaning the remembrance and the consciousness of Allah. One person wrote to Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi, that when I'm reading my salah, I'm in such a condition that as though I feel Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me. I can actually picture this as though Allah is watching me. Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi wrote, alhamdulillah, it's a very good condition. But this condition is not only for salah. Even out of salah, out of the masjid, the same condition must come upon you, that my Allah is watching me, how can I do anything against the command of Allah? The next thing that was mentioned regarding this person, so the first thing is that his tongue is always wet with the remembrance of Allah. وَقَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ or بِالْمَسْجِدِ. That his heart is linked to the masjid. Mulana Umarji Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, used to explain this hadith and say, that person, what's the meaning of the person's heart is linked to the masjid? Is that a person finishes his namaz, he goes out, he goes to his business, but he's waiting for the next salah time to come. His heart is linked to the masjid. He may be doing his business. That is why it comes in the Quran Sharif regarding the Jummah salah. فَإِذَا قُدِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. That when you finish your salah, you can go out and do your business. You don't have to sit in the masjid all the time. You are allowed to go out and do your business. But waskuru Allah kathiran. But remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In abundance. Meaning, whilst you are there in your business, everything has to be according to sharia. And remember the next salah time also. The next salah time, you need to remember that also. Salah is a subject on its own. But just to mention just few things, as Sheikh Zakaria Sahib rahmatullah alayhi mentions, that with regards to salah, there are three groups of people. The first group are those people who are not reading salah. They don't read salah at all. This is a major, major, major sin. So much so, that from amongst the four imams, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned, that person who does not read his salah, intentionally does not read his salah, such a person has left the fold of Islam. He has become a kafir. The other three imams say, that such a person will have to be imprisoned and he has to be lashed until he makes sincere tawbah that now he's going to read his salah. So severe. So that's the first group of people. The second group of people are those people who are there performing salah. But the men are not performing salah in the masjid. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as far as the woman is concerned, I mean, can we imagine the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum's families, they wanted to read even salah behind Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in the riwayat of Mustadrak Hakim, khayru masajidkunna, khayru masajidkunna, buyutukunna, that the best masjid for y'all is your people's houses. They wanted to read behind Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when Nabi Sallam told them this, then they started performing the salah at home. So the men in the masjid and the women at home, there's so much so Nabi Sallam said that I wish to appoint an imam to perform the salah and I will go and check up who is not coming to the masjid and I will burn their homes. So this is the second group of people. They're performing the salah but they're not performing the salah. in the masjid. And the third group of people are those people who they're performing the salah, they're reading it in the masjid, but they're not reading the way they're supposed to read it. 20 years has gone, 30 years has gone, the way they started reading salah, they're reading the salah in the same way. Not improving, they don't go to the ulama, they don't find out the masail. How am I making my ruku? How am I making my sajda? Is it correct? Nabi Sallam gave the example of a hen. That we have seen a hen, that how it eats its food so fast. He just puts his head down and up, up and down. This person is making his ruku. He doesn't come up fully, he goes down into sajda. He comes up halfway from his sajda, going to the next sajda. So the second part, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw about this person, is that his heart is towards the masjid. And his salah is correct. The third quality of this person is, walam yastasibba liwalidayhi. That this person, he's not hurtful to his parents. He's not hurtful to his parents. Because of that he has got the shade under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a subject on his own also. But a person who is not hurtful to his parents, then such a person, even the kalima becomes easy for him to recite just before he passes away. Famous incident of the sahabi radiallahu anhu. For some reason or the other, his mother was not pleased with him. Everything that happened in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where it happened through a sahabi, where it happened through Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was a lesson for us. Deen had to be completed. Things had to take place. We cannot look down at any sahabi radiallahu anhu. Deen had to be completed. Sometimes certain mistakes they made is so that we know how to react when those mistakes take place. So his mother was not happy with him for some reason or other. Sahaba anhu come and tell Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this person cannot read the kalima, he is about to pass away. Nabi Sallam says, go to his mother. Ask what had happened. She says, no, I'm not happy. Nabi Sallam says, forgive him. But for some reason or other, she said, no, I do not want to forgive him. Nabi Sallam said, gather the sticks. We will burn him in the dunya. Because the punishment is very severe in the akhirah for a person who is disrespectful to the parents. When the mother saw that, the mother immediately, obviously, her mercy overtook her anger. And she said, I forgive him. And when she forgave him, immediately the kalima came out of the mouth of the sahabi radiallahu anhu. So when a person is obedient to his parents, then even the kalima becomes easy. But we must remember two words. One is respect and one is obedience. If your parents are telling you to do something that is according to Sharia, then you have to respect them and you have to obey them. But if they're telling you to do something against Sharia, then you still have to respect them. But you cannot obey them. Respectfully you will tell them that I'm sorry that I cannot do this. This is against the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you still have to respect them. Because they are your parents. So the third thing that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw about this person is that he was not hurtful to his parents. And the word is used hurtful in any way, whether you do it verbally, whether you do it physically. In any way, you should never be hurtful to one's parents. So we had mentioned six qualities that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had seen on the night of Mi'raj. One was a person who had been, he is a consumer of riba and incest. Second is a person who gives advice to others, but he does not follow it. And third is a person who makes ghibat. These were the three frightening things. We make dua that Allah protects us from these things. And there were three qualities that Nabi Sallam spoke about of a person who had seen. One is a person's tongue is always wet in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second, his heart is linked to the masjid. And third is a person, he is always respectful and obedient to his parents and he is not hurtful to his parents. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah give us tawfiq to make amal on what has been said. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.